tried to cover it up, but your history will tell. I'll explain on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, that was Steve Brown, and I'm Mike Kellogg. You're listening to Key Life, practical Bible principles for daily living. Now, here with Bible in hand is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to Joshua. I'm your tour director, and I got to end this today. There was so much more I wanted to spend. Maybe someday we'll go back and we'll just do a verse-by-verse, line-upon-line, precept-upon-precept thing in Joshua. I love that. And I've done it several times because this is really a great book. But because this is an Old Testament survey, I must. And you will see an amazing demonstration of God's grace and restraint. I must, after today, move on as we continue with the Old Testament survey. But if you're opening, open your Bible to Joshua, and we spent all the introductory time, Joshua 15 through 19, and I'm just making a general observation, and I'll say a little bit more about it as we get into some details. I'm going to do it tomorrow. And tomorrow I'm going to spend, we'll end Joshua tomorrow, I think. At any rate, I suggested yesterday, just as we brought the broadcast to a close, that as you read through those chapters, as the writer of Joshua describes in great detail the division of the land, it ought to give anybody who takes the time to think about it the distinct impression that at minimum, this is not a book of fiction. Can you imagine an author sitting down and writing five fictional chapters of a book that would have absolutely no relevance to anyone? Well, the book of Joshua isn't some whimsical fantasy of a fiction writer. It is the absolute accurate record of what God did with his covenant people. And when you read the words of Joshua, you're reading a history book that is totally accurate, not just the big ideas and concepts, but you're reading a history book that is accurate down to the last minor detail. Now, what does that say in a practical way to us? Just this. If you want to know what God has done in the past, read a history book. If you want to know what God is doing right now, read a newspaper. If you want to know why God is doing that, read both of those, the newspaper and the history book, with your Bible in one hand and the newspaper or the history book in the other. Peter the Great was once in a sailboat when he got really ticked with one of his companions, and he grabbed him and was about to throw him overboard to the sharks. And the companion said, "Go ahead. But Peter, your history will tell of it." With that, Peter the Great put him back down. History doesn't lie. There's a lot of history that is written for no other reason as the postmoderns say, except to manipulate and create lies. But that's not true. And postmodernists, or those who are into postmodernity and say that words don't count, they don't understand that there is real history, and real history doesn't lie. It needs interpretation, but nevertheless, it is still the record. I was talking to a friend of mine whose daughter was wronged terribly by a man. He said that some of his friends had said, "Doctor, worry about it. The man was cursed by God." Just as an aside, the man who did that to his daughter lost his business and was headed for financial disaster. At any rate, my friend said, "At first I didn't accept that God had cursed this man, but then I remembered that God does work in process. And the same thing that caused him to act in a stupid way to my daughter is causing him to act in a stupid way in his business. And if that is God's curse, then he's cursed. So watch history, yours, and your neighbor's history, and your nation's history, and you will see God acting in the process." That's why Joshua writes history. Oliver Cromwell, the 17th century Lord Protector of England, he's sort of a minor hero of mine. He did some really bad stuff, and he did some really good stuff. And if you have a hero or a book about a hero, and they don't tell you the bad stuff, then burn it because it's an idol. But at any rate, this is what he said. "If it be of God, he will bear it up. If it be of man, it will tumble, as everything that hath been of man since the world began hath done. And what are all our histories but God manifesting himself that he has shaken and tumbled down and trampled upon everything that he has not planned? My friend Tony Campolo, and he's gotten a bum rap in some areas, by the way, but that's another subject. He says the second coming is when God finishes what we have started. That's good. But I would add a theological addendum. I'm constantly having to correct Tony Campolo. The second coming is when God finishes in person what he started through us. No, better. The second coming is when God finishes in person what he started at the beginning with creation and then through us. The difference between Eastern religions and Western religions is that the former sees God outside of history, and the whole purpose of religion is to escape history. The Western Judeo-Christian heritage sees God acting in history in real time and space. Now, I'm going to say some more about that tomorrow, but I want to get to some of these questions. But I want you to remember, when you're upset about elections, whichever way they go, when you're upset about what's happening with your job, when you're upset with the way that things are going in the world, remember God. Remember that that's where God is involved. You think about that. Amen. As I said, tomorrow I'll talk a little bit more about that, and we'll get into some specifics in Joshua about history. But it's my practice on Wednesdays to take some time to answer some of these questions, and we are way behind. Pastor Pete will be in on Friday to answer questions with me. By the way, and this is in my sheet for today, it says read, so being the obedient individual that I am. A reminder, Eli's is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, ECFA. The council is widely recognized as a Christian financial organization created to assure ethical monetary practices by its members. And then one other thing, we've got a website, keylife.org, and you can learn a lot about Key Life and get a lot of good information. Listen to the broadcast, the archive broadcast, listen to Think Spots, get some devotional help, all by going to that website. And we just redesigned it. If you haven't been there a while, you might want to check it out. Love to get your questions, but you got to write them down. Send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or in Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us with your regular mailing address if you want a response, steve@keylife.org. Don't use the 1-800 number for questions. As I always say, you can get the booklet we're offering on questions and answers. You can become a part of Key Life Tapes. You can get the magazine. You can make a contribution. But you got to write your questions down. Okay. This is an email. What is dispensationalism? Is it okay to pursue that line of study? Of course it is. That would primarily be discovered in this country through the Scofield Reference Bible and the New Scofield Reference Bible. A man by the name of Ryrie and a bunch of others have been very much, Chafer was the theologian of dispensationalism in a detailed, systematic way. Darbyism, it was called by some who want to put it down. And there's a book written by Calvin that's called Wrongly Dividing the Truth. I want you to never buy that book. Dispensationalism is a way of looking at the Bible, and it's an appropriate, it's not my way, but it's an appropriate way to look at the Bible. And in a very superficial way, a lot more needs to be said than this. But generally, most dispensationalists would see the whole record of what God does in history in terms of seven specific dispensations. We're now living in a dispensation, I think, called the church dispensation. The kingdom comes later. There's the beginning dispensation, and it goes, but there's seven of them, and God acts in specific ways during those dispensations. He never betrays himself. He's never schizophrenic, but he acts in a particular way, in a particular dispensation. And I think that's a helpful way to understand the Bible. I do not agree with it. It's not my way. I'm more covenantal and reformed in my viewpoint. But we're all in the family, and everybody who belongs to Jesus belongs to everybody who belongs to Jesus. And when we get home, we're going to find that all of us were wrong, and some of us were significantly wrong. I'm just not sure which is which all the time. But, of course, it's okay to pursue that line of study. This is from Florida. What does the Bible teach about dancing? Is it okay to dance? Well, if you would say, what does the Bible teach about driving a car? And is it okay to drive one? I would say, yes, but don't kill anybody with it. And I would say about dancing, yes, but, you know, there are some kinds of erotic dancing that probably would not be appropriate for a Christian. But there's probably more in the Bible, to be perfectly honest with you, about dancing than there is about evangelism. Boy, that all is, I'm going to get letters on that, but there really is. And David danced. In fact, he did it naked. I'm not suggesting that you do that. In fact, it was kind of a shameful thing, but as a matter of fact, there's a lot about dancing in the Bible, and I think we have to use some common sense in dealing with that. But I think an absolute rule to say a Christian will never dance and shouldn't, because the Bible says that we shouldn't, is simply spurious. Wrong. Let's see. I got time to... What happens to people who never heard of Jesus but seek after God? That's from Ohio. Let me tell you something, that almost every place in the Bible where we speak with authority about that particular issue, we have to do it indirectly, because the Bible is a direct referencing to God's covenant people, or to people who do know. God simply doesn't give us all the answers. And so we can suggest that they are lost, and that may be true, but we know that God sends us to those who have never heard, and we do that in obedience. But in terms of being absolute, I'll tell you something that I know that is absolute. I know that God is just. I know that God is loving, and I know that you can trust Him. However, aside from that, about which the Bible does not address specifically over and over again, as a clear major doctrine, you have heard, you do know, and the real question is, what are you going to do, not what are they going to do? Remember when John, or we think it was John, said to Jesus, what about Peter? And Jesus said, what is that to you? Follow thou me. That's pretty good advice. I'm going to take it. I would recommend it highly to you. And that's all I'm going to say on the subject, because I'm out of time. Whenever you write or call, be sure and give us the call letters for this grid station. And one other thing before I go, Key Light is a production of Key Light Network.